And today we're joined by one of the towering forces in innovation, Tim Brown. Tim is CEO and president of the best known, probably the best known design firm in the world, IDEO. He's author of books, articles, TED Talks, and other works on design that any dedicated listener of the show has read or seen. IDEO is a design firm recognized around the world for its innovative design work, from creating the first mouse for Apple to reimagining the bicycle or the dressing room for a clothing store or even reinventing an elementary school curriculum. The work of IDEO is something that can be seen in many industries and many countries around the world. And I'm sure most of the listeners of our show have heard the term design thinking, maybe have taken some training in it. But how do you think of the term? How do you define design thinking?
Well, it's really the kind of collection of mindsets and that designers have developed over the years to enable them to tackle the creative problems. And it's a mix of skills that are around kind of empathy and understanding and gathering insights, skills that are around exploration of ideas, exploring new concepts, skills around how to prototype those and learn through prototyping, how to and then the skills that are associated with driving those ideas through to impact, whether that's knowing how to build and execute on your ideas or whether it's the storytelling that's associated with those ideas. So it's a whole collection of skills, some of which are individual, some of which are collaborative, and the sort of mindsets that go along with them.
You and I were not that different in age, and when we started out, the dominant view of making innovation work was that companies needed a disciplined stage gate process, you know, a sequence of stages with activities in each, and then a series of gates or review points that managers would go through to make sure they're doing the right thing. And in your book, you instead talk about these overlapping areas of inquiry, the three I's of inspiration, ideation, and implementation. And why do you characterize design that way?
Well, if you think about it, when we are exploring unknown space, right? When we're moving to an idea that we don't have yet, you never quite know where the inquiry is going to take you. And so, if you have a fixed, linear, predetermined process, then you're almost certainly kind of ensuring that that you'll fail to be able to make the most of the opportunities as they emerge. You have to be able to be kind of nimble, agile, to use a popular term. I think these linear stage gate processes are great for kind of analytical decision making, but I think one needs to have a slightly more open ended approach. Now, that doesn't mean to say that you don't need to know what you're doing at each as you move along the journey. I find it easier to think about it as a journey rather than a process, because that way, with journeys, you can take side trips, right? You can decide to stop a while and investigate something and then move on, rather than the sort of inevitability of a process that's moving at a constant pace towards an inevitable outcome.
One way that I think managers most know of IDEO is the relatively famous shopping cart video that was done by Nightline back in 1999, where you design in a week a new shopping cart. I think it unfortunately shows you going through a fairly sequential process of going out in the field and then brainstorming and then building prototypes, and then you go through this construction phase and then you unveil it on the Friday. I think it's clear that that is just an artifact of the video, but my question about the IDEO video is broader than that. That was 15 years ago, and the video holds up remarkably well in terms of showing managers different phases of a design thinking experience. But it's been 15 years, and surely IDEO has evolved since then. So as you watch that video, if you were to remake it today, how would it be different?
Well, I mean, we might bring the haircuts and the clothing on today a little bit. I think there are a couple things. Firstly, it really does show, as you said, a sort of a single iteration, if you like, of the design process. And I think what's probably least kind of accurate. I mean, obviously, there's only so much you can do in a short period of time. I mean, most design problems are complex enough. And even that one, you think about that, really went from some very, very quick, rough prototypes to something that was not a whole lot more sophisticated, even though it looked more sophisticated. There were lots of things that one would have wanted to continue to explore, not least the other associated elements around the physical cart itself. What kind of services might it support? If you remember, there was a little kind of scanning thing. Well, we didn't even think about what the software was associated with that. Never mind what the business model might be for a manufacturer of that cart or a retailer that was going to implement it. So there were many aspects of that design problem that we didn't really get a chance to explore in the time that we had available. And I would say that's probably the way that we would want to illustrate the design process more today, is that the more complete you can make it, ultimately every significant new innovation is a system, right? And if that innovation is moving into business, it has to be some kind of business system. I believe that most organizations, if not all organizations, have more freedom to ask slightly bigger questions than they would otherwise naturally ask, more freedom than they think they do. And I would always encourage managers to take a step back, take a look at the problem they think they've been asked to tackle or that they're looking at tackling. Take a step back. Look at that sort of one order of magnitude up from that and say, well, if I was to give myself the freedom to explore the system that surrounds that problem, what would I see? And very often you will see opportunities to actually include elements, if not the whole thing, into the challenge. And that is then what gives you the opportunity, I believe, to get to a significantly more innovative solutions. In the early days, when we were working on a lot of the early mice and pointing devices for computers, we'd do a lot of very rigorous testing of these new devices in terms of how easy they were to use, and we built all this software back then to test the accuracy of a mouse and things. And time and time again, you'd ask somebody, "Well, how does this feel?" And they'd say, "Oh, fine." And then you look at their face, and they'd be frowning, and they'd be scrunching up, and you could clearly see that they were having difficulties doing what they were trying to do. And it's that dissonance that tells you so much about whether you're doing a good job or not, or whether what the real insight is.
Tim, when I think about design thinking and even going back to the shopping cart video, I think of the contribution that you make to our understanding of design and innovation as many, but some particular ones is that when you look at that shopping cart video, you've got 5 days to redesign in a really valuable way, interesting way, a shopping cart. And you spend the entire first day just exploring the problem and not brainstorming, which I think most managers would have the urge to just go into a room and start brainstorming. And you only brainstorm on the second day for half a day. And then you spend 2.5 days building prototypes. And, that's often when people take apart that video and really understand what's happening, spending so much of the time building prototypes is something that I don't think a lot of companies do. Why do you think that that's important?
Because it's a learning process. We tend to think of building prototypes as somehow some way of presenting the idea you've already had. But it's not. It's a way of learning, and it's a way of exploring your ideas. I would argue that you learn far more by building something than you do by thinking about it, because the smartest of us can't think about all of the possible aspects. I mean, that's a relatively simple thing, a shopping cart. It's a physical object. But even there, to be able to anticipate in advance what's going to happen when you put this material with that material, or you make something that shape and then you ask somebody to use it, it's very, very hard to do. It doesn't matter how experienced you are. As soon as you build it, it becomes really obvious, right? So the faster you can build, the more you can build, the more you can learn about your idea. So it's very, very important to think of prototyping as a learning process, not as a presenting process. It's not the thing you build to take to management. It's the thing you do to learn about your idea.
We haven't even gotten to your recent article in the August Harvard Business Review about whether design thinking can still provide a competitive advantage. Can it?
Well, I think it comes back to what I was just talking about. It's all about mastery at this point. I think many, many, many organizations now understand the concept of design thinking, and I think treat it as a concept which you apply without a lot of thought. Not sure it can. I think you could argue that it's commoditized. But I think for those that have mastered the skills and capabilities, those organizations are capable of serving their customers, their consumers, their employees, even their their shareholders in uniquely creative ways, that is the ability to do that is always going to create an advantage.